Now for the sermon, our pastor, Mr. Mike Joseph.
Thank you again, Richard. One other announcement I forgot to make is our camping and tubing adventure here on August 10th. Still room for more. The more the merrier. So if you're interested in that, please email me or give me a call. I'd be glad to have you up at the campground. It's a nice campground, nice lake, not too much shade. Well, there is a lot of shade in some places, but not in the right places. But it is a nice campground. Well, what I wanted to talk about today concerns an event that's happening today. But it doesn't necessarily concern the two people that are going to be married this afternoon or this evening. But as married folk, I hope my message stirs us all to thinking about our individual relationships, because marriage is so important, it's so meaningful. And as I thought about the marriage taking place today, I thought, well, what would be better than a reminder for all of us who have been married for a year, for 30 years, for 50 years, whatever it is. We all need reminders to think about our relationship. Think about the days when we were courting, when we were just thinking about marriage. Thinking about the days as men when we were trying to get enough nerve to ask the beautiful young lady that we met, ask her to marry us, to spend the rest of her life with us. So it's a very special day, not only because it's God's Sabbath day, when we can come together to honor God, worship God, and be together. But because of the event taking place this evening, it's a very special day for those two young people. And I know the Lee family's excited as well. You know, anytime one of your children is a parent, one of your children's getting married, it's just an exciting, stressful time. But it's also a very joyful time. But marriage is something very important to our Creator. There's a purpose for it. Very important. God had something awesome in mind when He created Adam and Eve. He had a reason for that. He had a plan. He was doing something with this couple. He was recreating Himself. He was adding to His family. He was building something. The sad thing is that not many people out in the world today know or appreciate marriage or God's reason for creating marriage. Marriage isn't something that's all that important to many people. 50% of marriages fail. 50% of the people that are together, the couples that are together, aren't married. That's their choice. But marriage has lost something over the years. But we read in the Scriptures, and we soon realize nothing has changed since God created marriage. Nothing about marriage has changed. Still the same. Still that lifelong commitment between one man and one woman, the way God designed it. God has not changed anything. The title of my message today is very simple. Something we all have said when we were married. My title is, I do. I do. I can say just about anything about marriage today because Barb's not with me. She can't correct me. She can't give me a scorned look. Unless you tell on me, I'm good. But I appreciate her. She never knew or had any idea when she said to me, I do, what she was in for the next, 48 years now. But I've given her excitement. that she had never dreamed of. I'm sure, given her disappointment, she never dreamed of. But what a relationship we've had over the years. Here when I get home. So, but we, you know, ups and downs. And we all know marriage is ups and downs. It's good times and bad times. It's a great thing. And it doesn't matter how many years we've been married, we're still learning. Every one of us is still learning. I was going to ask this morning before I started, is there any married person in here, male or female, that is the perfect mate? I don't. Okay, whatever. Lying is still a sin. I didn't think I'd have anybody raise their hand, but what do I know? But anyway, what I was going to say, if there is a perfect mate out there, I would be happy to go sit down and let them share their secrets. Because of myself, I have no secrets, I have no magic formula, I have nothing other than to share what God says marriage is and what marriage should be and what we as husbands and wives, how we should treat our mates, our spouses. So, now that my theory is blown, that nobody here is perfect, we'll move on. Genesis chapter 1, if you turn there with me. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let us make, God said, emphasizes the majesty of God. Creator. Creating something very special. In our image is what the scripture says. In our image. In the very image of our Creator. That's who we look like. That's who we were created to look like. God has moral and ethical and intellectual abilities that were passed on to us. We have those as well. We're the only creation that does. Because we're made in the image of God. According to His likeness. According to His likeness. God created man and woman to look like Him. I remember my son Todd, their oldest son Tyler. And people would just be amazed at how much Tyler looked like his dad. And then, somehow, Barb found a picture of me when I was 17, 18, and Tyler looked just like me. It's amazing. And you see that in families with fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, how the children look and act like their parents. Well, hopefully, we know we look like our parent, and hopefully we act like our parent. And we do as God does. But God created a man and a woman and blessed them. Something very special. Very special. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. It's yours to care for. Take care of this. This is what I've given to you. Have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. God began with Adam. All of us men should fall on our knees every day of our lives and thank God that God observed that Adam needed something else. He needed something to balance him out. He needed something, someone to tell him when he maybe wasn't thinking correctly, making the right decisions. He needed somebody to help balance him out. And we, as husbands, are the same way. We need somebody to balance us out. God has given us wives to do that. Adam needed some help getting things done. Adam needed someone to help him make up a honey-do list. Because sometimes men don't organize things as well as they should. But wives have a knack. They stick that little note up there in the refrigerator. They'll go back and review it every now and then, see if anything did get done or what kind of excuse husbands have for not getting it done. Keep moving it down. Genesis 2 in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." I looked at Adam, I'm thinking, nah, this isn't going to work. Probably should do something to help him out here. "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought him to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, called each living creature, that was its name. Given Adam that responsibility to take care of things, to do things with God's creation. And in verse 24, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They shall become one flesh. God made a woman from the rib of Adam. The first woman was created from the rib of Adam. Eve was comparable to Adam. And the husband should be the one that leads his family by showing that love and concern and care for his wife and the rest of the family, always being considerate for their well-being. Communication is so important between a husband and a wife. You can't have a successful marriage without talking, without communicating. Even though you think, I know my mate well enough, I know what they're thinking, I know what they would do in this situation. And a sad example of married couples not communicating caused all of mankind heartaches right up till today and until Jesus Christ comes back. Lack of communication. Genesis 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Right there, it would have been great had Eve said, "You know what? Wait a minute. Adam's just over here. I'm going to go get him. I think my husband needs to be in on this conversation. Because we're in this together." But she didn't do that. She may have been thinking, "Well, you know what? Yeah, you know, Adam will go along with whatever I go along with. So we'll just go ahead with this." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you shall die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now a flag should have went off, bells and lights and whistles, and she's saying, "Wait a minute, that's not what my husband told me that God said. That wasn't the direction we had. Something's not right here. This doesn't seem like it's the right thing for us to do." In verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Oh, it's going to make us smarter. We'll be smarter. Well, I know a husband wants to be smarter. Who wouldn't want to be? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And then what did she do? She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. They communicated too late. She communicated all of these good things. We're going to be smarter, we'll be wiser, we'll have all this good stuff. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with this tree. That's what I was told. There's nothing wrong with that. So Adam ate too. But Eve, without communicating, made that decision on her own. She didn't bother to ask. She didn't think it was important. But then, Adam should have himself taken a little time to go have a conversation with this person. Because it wasn't what God had told him. It was exactly the opposite. So he should have taken just a few minutes and saying, hey, what's going on here? This isn't the story we were told. This isn't the directive we received from God. This is totally the opposite. Explain that to me. Explain it to my wife. They didn't do that. No communication between themselves, no communication to God, no communication to Satan. No communication, no questions. But proper communication would have saved Adam and Eve, along with everybody else, a whole lot of sorrow. A whole lot of sorrow and pain and suffering. It's the husband's responsibility as head of the family to make sure his wife and family are protected at all times. That he makes sure that he knows what's going on. He knows the truth. He knows the facts. He has everything under control when decisions are made about his family. We'll stay in chapter 3 and go to verse 16. Genesis 3 and verse 16, it said, to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, because you didn't communicate, you didn't talk it over, you didn't find out what was really going on, because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. What a life-changing event happened to this couple because they didn't communicate. They didn't talk about what they should or shouldn't do. Husbands should want their wives' input in decisions that affect them. Married couples must talk to each other. Communicate. Find out, what are you thinking? What do you think about this? I've got an idea. Is it any good? Does it make sense? We need to talk as married couples. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. God wants us to find that love of our life, that person we want to spend the rest of our life with, person that we can love and that will love us back. How many of us husbands, when we first saw our wives, remember saying, she's the one. She's the one. She's the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. Can we, as husbands and even as wives, do we continue to say that still today? After years of marriage, do we still say that about our mate today? They're the one. I want to spend the rest of my life with, and I'm so blessed to have them here with me. The good, bad, and the ugly on each side. But I'm so blessed to have them here today. And we should continue to say that to each other, to ourselves, every day. Proverbs 31 and verse 12. Talking about the wife, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A wife honoring and respecting and helping her husband. And in 1 Timothy, if you turn there with me, 1 Timothy. First Timothy 5. And in verse 8, and this is for us husbands to pay attention to, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So as husbands, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to provide for our family. Barb and I just had a conversation about how a marriage relationship can begin to suffer when either the husband or the wife get too busy to show their mate any attention. And things get busy. People are going in I don't know how many different ways to try to make a living, to try to do the things that they need to do. And we get so busy that all of a sudden we think about it, we're not paying any attention to each other. We're going every which way. A marriage can't work like that. Shouldn't work like that. That's not the way it was intended. Being busy isn't always a good thing, especially when it comes to and is the cause of difficulty in a marriage. Take time to enjoy each other. Take time to enjoy each other and appreciate that time together. Ephesians, if you turn there with me, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. How many of us guys remember when we got married and we got married on a weekend or maybe went on a honeymoon or whatever, but you came back and reality set in and you had to get up and go to work the next day? Who wanted to leave? You know, who wants to leave? I want to leave my bride here. I want to stay here. But we had to do that. We had to go. We had to get back into some kind of a plan with our family. So everything good changes as well. You know, the honeymoon's over. Now it's time to think about building our lives together. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Ephesians 5 and in verse 22 it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And this, you know, these scriptures have been taken so far out of context over the years that it would be funny if it was funny. But it's not. Because many husbands have become dictators and ruled their wife with a rod of iron instead of loving their wife. And that's not what this scripture is saying. Jesus Christ certainly doesn't rule us with a rod of iron. Christ cares for us. He forgives us. He loves us. He cares for us. And we're to do as He does for the church. We're to follow His example. We're to be loving, kind, compassionate, caring husbands. And then it goes on in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." You ever see these bodybuilders at a show? Talk about somebody who's in love with himself. These guys are in the mirror prancing around. I would say I've done that, but I'm not going there. But you know, they are. They just prance around and they're just like, I'm so pretty. Look at me. And that's what, when I read these scriptures, I think about that. You know, if we could only love our wives as much as sometimes we love ourselves, guys, and we're in a store, no matter what, you know, if we're a hunter or we're into whatever, and we're in a store surrounded by all of this good stuff that we love, we can usually come up with a reason why we should do something for ourselves at that particular time. I should buy this for me because I enjoy it. But we need to think of our wives, our mates, the same way we think about ourselves, and love our wives just as we love ourselves. In verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Again, comparing this to a husband and wife, this fantastic relationship. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one sleeping through the daytime. So I thought, what a waste. That car's sitting in the driveway all day. Somebody could be using that. So anyway, he either loved me as a brother, or he was crazy. I don't know which, but he let me use that car. But I would use it, and I would go. And Barb always thought something was a little strange because I'd look, and, you know, Jim had to be to work. At about 8 o'clock, I'd say, I got to go home. And she'd think, like, wow, aren't you like 35 and you got to be home at 8 o'clock? But I was trying to impress her. I don't know if I told her, how long it was before I told her, really, the car's not mine. And but, you know, I was trying to be on my best, trying to say the right thing, do the right thing. And we all do that, I think. Or either I'm odd, but I would think we all do that, as guys especially. But we want to put on our best and bring our best forward because we're trying to impress somebody and convince somebody to come and change what you're doing and come and join me for the next 70 years or so. Change what we're doing. But you know, it's when everyone else has gone home and the two of you are left alone to look in each other's eyes and say, what were we thinking? No. Hopefully you didn't say that. But to say, you know what, this is the beginning of the first of the days that we're going to be together, which are going to be the happiest days of our lives. We can make it that way. We're spending time together with the people we love, with the people we want to be spending time with. And those of us who have been married for a long time can pass on our joy to the younger couples. To let them know, hey, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. It gets better. Our marriage gets better every year. I hope Barb feels the same way. I've never asked her. Maybe I don't want to hear the answer. But it does. It gets better because we become more alike. You know, she accepts me more. I accept her more. And it works. But it's so fantastic. God in his wisdom knew what marriage should be, how it should work. We have to realize that as well. Titus, if you turn with me there, please. Titus. Chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. This is for us, for the older men, the older women who have been married, and we can pass our happiness on. We can pass the joy of marriage on to the younger people. And it says that they admonish talking about the older women in the church teaching and sharing their experiences with the younger ones, but that they admonished the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. That we set that example because we have learned what marriage is. Barb and I were so excited to find, through the years, to find articles or hear sermons about marriage and what we can learn, and to meet other couples that have been married for years and find out, what are you doing? What works? What doesn't work? How can you be so happy after 40 years? What's right in your marriage? But what a great example to help those who are newlyweds by setting that example. And is every day perfect? Absolutely not. But most days are. Most days are great. First Peter. Chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Setting that example, how many spouses have come into the church because of the example that their spouse set? It's amazing where you see a spouse begin to come into the church, begin to communicate with the people here, stick around a little bit for a cup of coffee. I know Jim Ward and Bob Wagner's two examples of that here in Lansing that I can think of, where they didn't want anything to really do with the church, didn't have any problems with their wives coming. But soon they would stick around, they would talk, they would come to activities, and then pretty soon you're seeing them here at church. And then next thing you know, they're being baptized. But they do that, and the example that their spouses have set played a big role in that. They saw that their spouses had something that, hey, I want that. So the example that we set as husbands and wives is very important, especially if our mates aren't in the church. It says, but do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair or wearing gold or of putting on fine apparel. It doesn't matter how you look. I mean, you want to look nice for your husband, but that's what's important is what's inside. What's important is what's in your heart. How do you feel about God? How do you feel about living the way of life that God has set before us? How do you feel about your commitment to your mate? That's what's important. But there are several questions that are asked to couples planning on getting married as they're going through counseling. And these same questions should be asked of married couples every few years, just to get them thinking back. Give them something to help evaluate the condition of their marriage. These questions, if you've been married for 5, 10, 30, 40, 50 years, the answer to these questions should really be a piece of cake. They should be, if our marriage is on course. If we're doing what we need to do as husbands and wives. So the first question is, what does marriage mean to you? What does marriage mean to you? Been married for 40 years, what does marriage mean to you today? Does it mean the same thing it meant on that first day? Is it still something special, or is it humdrum? You know, you hear a guy say, oh, I got to go home to the wife. You know, oh, I gotta go home. Is it quitting time already? I don't want to go home. Hopefully our marriages are not like that. But they're still exciting. Marriage means everything to us as husbands, or should. And if it doesn't, then we've got some work to do. Question number two, why did you want to be married in the first place? Why did you want to be married? Can we go back to the years that have passed and think about that? Why did we want to get married in the first place? What was that going to change in our lives? What would that mean to us to be married? The third question is, what does love mean? What does love mean when you tell your wife or your husband you love them? What does that mean to you today after years of marriage? I love you. Love you. There was a sitcom, and the husband and wife, every time they talked to each other on the phone, they would say that to each other as they hung up. Love you. Click. And they were talking one night, and they said, does that really mean anything? Does that mean anything? And so they thought they would try a little trial run and not say that anymore. Just not say that. Okay, goodbye. And to see if they couldn't really get some meaning back to what that meant when they said, I love you. And it really didn't work. They were so much in the habit of doing that, they went right back to what they were doing. And even in one case there, the wife received a phone call from another person with the same name as her husband, and she got into the conversation, and at the end of the conversation, she said, okay, love you. She hung up the phone, and she wrote, why did I tell that guy I loved him? But she was just in the habit of that. But we can get in the habit of that. But does it have any meaning? What do we mean when we say, I love you? Does it mean anything to us? It should mean something to us. It should mean a lot to us. What qualities does your wife or husband possess that puts them far above everybody else? Now, when we, and I speak for the men because I'm not sure what to say for the ladies, but we as men, when we decided that we were going to ask this particular young lady to marry us, she was so far above everybody else, there was absolutely no comparison. No comparison at all. Husbands, is she still there today? Is that where she's at today? Is she still above everyone else? Or have we looked around and compared, look at there, his wife mows the grass and washes the car and mine doesn't. Is that how we look at things? Or do we still look at look at there. I don't care what she does. Look at what I've got here. Is she still far above everyone else like she was at one time? And I hope to the wives that the husbands are in that same category. That you saw the man that you wanted to marry, and he's the man. No matter what, he's the man. And he always will be. Husbands and wives, do you still have the same interests, especially in your leisure time? Do you enjoy doing things together? Do you enjoy doing the same thing? Husbands and wives may be busy working all week, not seeing much of each other, but when you have that time, that leisure time, do you enjoy doing the same thing? Or is this one off here and this one's off here? And doing separate things. But when we were first married, when we were dating, you couldn't pry us apart. Even if our young lady did something that we hated, we would just do it because we wanted to be with her. So today, do we still have those same interests? Do we still enjoy that time together? Make time together. Do what we need to do to make that time together. And here's one. This one here probably shouldn't have even been here. But I thought I'd throw it in because I remember what it was like when I started dating Barb. And, you know, almost 50 years later, and both of her parents have died. So I really don't know the answer to this question. It says, but do your parents approve of your wife or husband? Do your parents approve of your wife or husband? Would, when I think about it, would my mother-in-law and father-in-law approve of the way that I have treated their daughter? Of the life that I've given her? Of the family that we built, put together? would they approve of that? Or would they say, wow, she just held off for a little while longer? Possibly you could have done a little better. But I think it took some convincing. But I had a great relationship with my mother-in-law. Actually, I think I had a better relationship than Barb did. But we just got along well. And it was amazing because she never approved of the church. And when we first started coming, she was trying to talk Barb into having me locked up because I was crazy. Because this was so strange to her. Because she was raised with a Pentecostal Baptist background. And to hear what we were doing and the strange things we weren't giving our kids Christmas presents, that's insane. He's nuts. But a few years before she died, she had made the comment, I don't understand what you believe. I don't believe it. But I see the results. And that's all she had to say. She saw the results. And that was enough for me. But do we set that example as husbands, as wives, continually, whether our in-laws are here or not anymore? But we know by the way we do, we handle ourselves, by the way we treat our families, that our in-laws and even our parents would be pleased with what we're doing and how we're doing it. Anyone who's married knows it isn't always easy to work out solutions to everything. If we were on our own, we'd have the easy answer. The world has the easy answer. Those without God have the easy answer. You just split. 50% of marriages do. 50%. But we have the answer to a good, happy, solid marriage. That answer is God. We go back and look at the creation, why He created it, what's the purpose, what's our future. If we put God at the center of our marriage, we can work anything out. We'll be together until death does us part, just as God intended. 1 Corinthians 11, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. This is what a marriage should be built on. What it should be based on. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of us. He's in charge. He's the person we go to. He's the person that advises us, who gives us that wisdom and insight to say and do the right thing, to be able to be a good husband, a husband that God is pleased with, that our spouse is pleased with. The head of the woman is the man. Now, we're given that responsibility as husbands. That doesn't mean we're just ultimately in charge. What I say goes. That's not what it means. It means we have a responsibility to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be the right kind of a man. A man who loves, a man who serves, a man who has compassion, a man who forgives, a man who just takes into account the best for his wife. That's what it means. And the head of Christ is God. What a structure. What an example for us to follow. To follow that example of Jesus Christ over His bride, over the church. We as husbands get to follow that example and to be there, to lead and care and love our wives. Finding the right man or woman to share the rest of our lives with is such a wonderful experience. Such a great time. During the years of marriage, all the barriers come down. Can't hide much. All the masks come off. our mates see us almost as clear as God does. Because after years and years of marriage, we're who we are. We're who we are. The games are over. We love one another. We care for one another. We're a team. We make our marriage work. We make it happen. Marriage is a time to really begin to understand how to have love and concern for others. We have to have that love, just as Jesus Christ has that love for us. He has that love for His church. He cares for His church. The good and the bad. He doesn't throw us out because we screw up. Because He loves us. He sets that example for us. But with marriage today around the world, it doesn't matter. You decide to end a marriage. They do. All the time. For no reason. You wonder why. What was that all about? But what an example for our children. But they don't understand the deep meaning of marriage. They will one day. The world will one day. And how that marriage binds a man and a woman together. Brings them together to understand love like it can't be understood unless you're God. All husbands and wives must remember those two tiny words that have a lifetime of meaning. And if we're married, we've said them. And we should remember why we said them. We should be happy and joyful that we said them. Because God has brought us together. But those two words that have a lifetime of meaning is I do.